Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just a little background on GE Vernova, specifically wind energy. So we are the largest wind manufacturing facility in the portfolio globally. So this is across multiple facilities that manufacture. What you're going to see that we do here, the machine head and the hub, that we've got other plants within globally within our network that manufacture the blades, and we basically and we purchase like the towers. So those are basically the four main aspects of wind turbine.
I got to see the windmill factory here in Pensacola yesterday, the GE Vernova factory that's just off of Scenic. And oh my God, it's amazing. You wouldn't even know it's there except you were trying to look. And I got invited to go be part of a tour yesterday with First Place Partners. And that's Brandy McGraw. She is the executive site leader. So she's in charge of this facility. And it's amazing. I mean, genuinely amazing. I was just blown away by what I saw. They employ 700 people. They are the biggest manufacturer of wind in GE's entire network. Vernova is kind of like their energy division. There are four parts to the windmill. And in understanding those parts is going to be important for understanding what we make here. You have the tower. That's the stick. Okay. That's the 300-foot pole that the windmill sits on. Then you have the machine head. That's inside the big rectangular case they call the nacelle. The nacelle itself is just the case, but inside that is the machine hub. That has all the gearing and the power plant and what basically creates the electricity. And that's one of the things that they make here in Pensacola is they take the nacelle that comes from elsewhere here in Pensacola. You see them being shipped down the street on trucks, and then they fill that with all the parts. So there's the tower, there's the machine head, then there's the hub. The hub is the sort of looks like the top of a space rocket. When the astronauts come back down to Earth, it's kind of that four-sided piece. That's the piece that the windmill blades attach to. Kind of like on a plane, you know, on a propeller plane, you have the blades of the propeller attached to a little cone. That little cone, that's the hub. They make that here too. So they don't make the blades here. The blades get made elsewhere because you want those close to the site because they're very difficult to transport. They contract out for the towers. But we make the two most crucial components right here in Pensacola. They make them. And it's an amazing facility. They also do repower, which is like refurbishing, okay, when things have been out in the field for a long time and they need to be remanufactured or have new parts put in them, basically. And this is not a very easy thing to do up on top of a 300-foot stick. So they basically, they can do some repairs on site, but they also will sometimes just kind of bring them back and repair the parts that need them. So what do they make?
We also make 2 megawatt units, 3 megawatt units. And specifically, we do the machine head. So the machine head is the mechanical portion of what goes in what Sean creates. So he makes a nacelle. We put the machine head into that, along with the drivetrains that we build, and then the hub. And the hub is basically the point where your blades attach.
Right. So they have like four lines. I was trying to think about it in my head because we're not allowed to take any pictures or video. It's all proprietary. It's all secrets that they don't want the competitors to know. So we weren't allowed to take any video or photos, which, you know, is driving me crazy the whole day. Mostly because I want to take pictures so I can remember stuff vividly. But they have one line that is for the 2 megawatt nacelles. They have one line that is for the 3 megawatt nacelles. They have another line that is for the hubs and another line that's kind of like the parts and, you know, the way they move stuff around. But they have, I mean, this is genuinely an enormous capacity facility.
The facility is a little bit under 400,000 square feet. We do 4 10s. So Monday through Thursday, we do 2 10-hour shifts. And from a weekly capacity perspective, we do about 40 hubs a week, 24 2-megawatt machine heads. We can do up to 24 drivetrains and repower units, and 24 3-megawatt machine heads.
Okay, so again, the rectangular piece, they're putting out 24 of the 2-megawatt type, and then they're putting out 24 of the 3-megawatt type, the bigger ones. They're also putting out 40 of those hubs every single week. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but compared to, she was giving us a comparison facility in Germany.
Those numbers are actually somewhat phenomenal when it comes to wind manufacturing. We would be considered a high volume manufacturer. So to put it in perspective, one of our wind turbine manufacturing facilities in Germany makes 7 units a month. So 7 units a month, what is that? Basically like 2 units a week. And you can see what we're outputting in a week. So we're extremely high volume.
So facility A in Germany makes 7 of these machine heads in a month. So 2 a week, a little bit less than 2 a week. The facility here in Pensacola makes 48 of them in a week, like 700 people. It's unbelievable, the level of production. And it's kind of like this secret, not secret, that people don't realize how significant this is to wind energy nationally. And I've got some numbers for you. I'll give you in a second. But just, it's like Pensacola is vital to wind production of electricity in the United States.
So some things on wind energy, because I think it is not understood how big an impact little Pensacola has when it comes to the entire wind manufacturing industry. We're kind of a big deal, guys. So like, we should all feel good about that.
We are. I mean, it really is a big deal. Like I said, I'll run you some of the numbers here in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. 90, 98 are flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. So to kind of wrap your brain around the significance of Pensacola, Plant Crist, okay? It used to be called Plant Crist, now the Gulf Clean Energy Center, okay? Converted from coal to natural gas, right? You're familiar with the former Gulf Power, now FPL facility up on the river, which is really just up the road from where they make these machine heads and the hubs. They have a capacity of somewhere in the vicinity of 1,000 megawatts, okay? A megawatt is I always get the numbers, the relationship between them confused. I think a megawatt is 1 million kilowatts or 1,000. Anyway, it's 1,000 megawatts, okay? And every week here, so total output, you know, the capacity of the Crist plant, I'm going to call it that because it's what you used to, is 1,000 megawatts. Every week they make at the Vernova Center, they make 120 megawatts of power output. That's 6,000 megawatts a year. That means that every year they're making 6 Plant Crists worth of wind energy. Like, John, I see your eyes. Like, that's a lot. You know, there's about 425 terawatts in production for wind across the entire country. That's about 10%. By the way, 10% of all U.S. energy comes from wind. And if you've not driven across the Midwest in the last 10 years, you have no idea. Like, it used to be almost nothing. They used to see them out in Arizona and going to California and some. But we just recently drove back and forth from Denver to here. Oh, my God, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. So about 10% of all U.S. energy is U.S. electricity is made by wind. And by my rough estimate, this wasn't a number they provided. This is me going home and crunching numbers on my own. By my rough estimate, we produce about here. We make about 3% of that total. So, I mean, a lot, an awful lot of energy. Again, about 6,000 megawatts of capacity a year, which is amazing. Each one of those little ones, just to kind of maybe put it in a little perspective, does about 1,500 homes, right? And we make, 120 of those a week, okay? So, 48 of those a week, and then you do the math out for the year. Anyway, so getting back to her description of the plant, just so you kind of understand.
So, when it comes to just overall wind energy, there are over 75,000 active wind turbines in the U.S. So that's a little bit under 1,800 projects or wind farms. So for like a wind turbine, a 3.8 3.6 megawatt wind turbine can produce enough energy to support 1,500 homes annually.
And again, the significance particularly of this facility, the GE Vernova facility that we toured yesterday, here's one example of a massive project that they are the major supplier for. It's actually kind of funny. The power lines that connect it go to Phoenix, but the wind farm itself is in New Mexico. It's called the SunZia project.
One of the things I want to wrap up on is SunZia. So our big project that we're supplying to this year is SunZia. This is the largest wind farm project in North America. So this is located in New Mexico. It was an initial, or will be an investment of a little bit over $5 billion. It is expected to start producing electricity in the end of this year or January of 2026. And that will be enough to be able to support 1.5 million households. So the SunZia project was a total of 1,000 wind turbines, and we got 674 of those. So we will wrap up delivering for that project probably October timeframe. So this is a huge milestone.
So 1,000 windmills. We made about 2/3 of them here. The key components, again, the machine head and the hub. And that's going to produce, 3.5 terawatts, I think, is the general number, 3,500 megawatts that they're producing. And that's wrapping up this year. Now, John, you're looking at me with these, like, bright eyes. Like, did you have any idea that you knew we made the pieces to the windmill?
Right, I knew that.
But did you know how much came from here?
No, I had no idea.
And these things are enormous when you get up.
Huge.
And you know, and the cranes that they need to move them around, they've got the largest forklift in the world. That's just one example. And so when you're driving past on scenic and you see on the right on the, well, if you're going north, if you see on the water side, you see all of the what kind of looks like a four-sided die, okay, with rounded edges. That's the hub. That's what the blades go into. I call them propellers. What the blades go into. And then the other part, the big chunky part, the big square part is the nacelle, but it's really the machine head. The nacelle is just the shell. They make, again, 24 of each type. So they make like 50 of those a week. So like 2,000 of those a year that we make here in Pensacola. It's unbelievable. It is a massive, the numbers of the economic impact are unfathomable. And again, like right here in Pensacola. And a lot of the people that work there are contract labor, like they work for Landrum, okay? And a lot of the people are full-time, work for GE. And there's a progression between them. But I so wish I could give you video and pictures. I'm just telling you, it is phenomenal. And to think about, we just don't know a lot of times what people do if it's not our job. And if you don't see a facility, we don't know what it does. And I was blown away. So we'll talk more about this throughout the day. But, and some funny stories to tell you from when we're actually, this was the, she's the, the head of the operation. We were actually getting led around by one of the team A or A leaders. I forget his exact title, but he was great. D. And we'll talk about him maybe next hour. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Culver's could only have started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland. Like real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers. The farm fresh dairy and their fresh frozen custard made fresh daily at each restaurant. Or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Now featuring cod dinners and sandwiches. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, and Highway 90 in Milton. Curbside service is now available as well as third-party delivery with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You don't believe me?
No.
No?
Did I stutter?
I gotta be honest, I don't understand Mobile.
Why is that?
The Enterprise, CVN-65, is gonna get, you know, disassembled on the river.
Right.
And apparently, like, the Chamber of Commerce is upset. I think it's amazing that we'll be able to drive past an aircraft carrier for the time it's being disassembled, and it's gonna be right next to the SS United States. Like, that's amazing. You know, the battleship is out there. Now you can see a battleship and an aircraft carrier on the Gulf Coast. Like, I think it's amazing. And they're like, we don't want it here.
Wonder if they're doing tours on it.
Oh, I would bet not.
Okay.
Because it's probably a construction danger, all that kind of stuff.
All
but,
right. Well,
man, that would be fantastic.
That'd be fun to go through
there. I know. What's wrong with you? You don't want an aircraft carrier silhouette on your river? You could bring it here. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all looking really good. Not seeing any delays right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, thanks so much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
ICE has now detained the family of the suspect in Sunday's anti-Semitic fire attack that injured 12 people in Colorado. The White House said Tuesday that Mohammed Solomon's wife and five kids are now slated for expedited removal from the country. The Department of Homeland Security currently looking into what the family knew about his plans. A new witness will take the stand in the Sean Combs trial today. A Combs accuser using the pseudonym Jane is expected to testify for several days and could be the last witness before the prosecution rests its case next week. And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is reportedly ordering the Navy to remove Harvey Milk's name from a supply ship. A defense official has confirmed those plans to military.com and said the timing during Pride Month was intentional. Milk was a gay rights advocate who served in the Navy during the Korean War.
This is my favorite story of the day because it is what a philosopher would describe as the perfect test case for whether you are a principled person or whether you are a hypocrite. I'm so glad you brought this up, David. This is actually the next thing I was going to talk about, so I'm so glad you brought this up.
Well, perfect timing then.
Yeah, so this whole series of Oilers is actually designed to be named for all, you know, social activists of all different sorts. So Harvey Milk is one of the names that's being used here, or has been used already. That one is actually in service. Some of the other ones, it's the John Lewis class. So John Lewis, Earl Warren, Robert F. Kennedy, Lucy Stone, Sojourner Truth, Thurgood Marshall, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Harriet Tubman, and Dolores Huerta are all names on this list of people who are going to have these ships named for them. And, yeah, the Defense Department is going to unname the Harvey Milk. First of all, you don't unname ships. Almost ever. Like, it's incredibly rare, okay? It has been done for two Confederate-era named ships. The reason I say this is a perfect example, a perfect illustration to find out whether you believe in principle or not is, what do you think my take on this is? You know me, I'm not a particularly pro-gay guy. I'm not particularly pro-Harvey Milk. I make fun of the rainbow people, acronym, people of the acronym, all that kind of stuff, okay? Would I generally choose to name a ship after Harvey Milk?
No.
The answer is no. Do I think we should unname a ship that was named for a gay rights activist, who, by the way, was ousted from the military for being gay? Right? And the answer is no. Don't rename things for shifting political winds. Period. But here's the thing. When they wanted to rename all the Confederate things, because, you know, they wanted to eradicate the Confederacy from any recognition in our military stuff or monuments or buildings or whatever. People said, it's our history. Don't rename things. And the criticism was, well, you know, you sound a little racist. Okay, you want to rename things because you like, or you don't want to rename because you hold on to the Confederacy. Okay, prove them wrong. The way you prove them wrong is here when it's going against what you want. Okay? The same principle should apply. Everybody's positions are inverted. See, all the liberals who wanted to rename the Confederacy stuff should be excited because, hey, we rename things on the basis of shifting political winds. And all of the conservatives who said don't rename things, who typically are not pro-gay particularly, should be like, yes, don't rename things. We disagree with the name, but you should leave names in place. This is such a great news story to find out whether people are serious or hypocrites.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The wife and five children of the Egyptian man who burned 12 people at a pro-Israel event in Boulder, Colorado Sunday are fast-tracked for deportation. Mohammed Sabri Suleiman was in the U.S. on an expired visa.
Instead of deporting this heinous individual, Joe Biden's administration allowed him to stay in our country and to work.
Fox House, White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt. Elon Musk says voting for the current Republican spending plan is a betrayal of the American people.
Less than a week after leaving the White House as a special government employee, Elon Musk is threatening election challenges against lawmakers who support the sweeping budget bill sought by President Trump. In a post on X, Musk described the One Big Beautiful Bill as a disgusting abomination.
Fox's Jared Halpern, steel and aluminum tariffs in the U.S. now up to 50%, except the U.K. That stayed to 25%. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get a check on our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Yesterday, we learned that the Maxwell Respite Center will be closing at the end of the month. It looks like some of the 80-plus residents that will find themselves homeless again may now have somewhere to go. Pensacola's Waterfront Rescue Mission said they will do what they can to take in those who are being displaced.
At the end of the day, we're going to help as many people as we possibly can.
That's Waterfront President and CEO Clay Romano. Maxwell Respite Center's residents include women, children, and families. Waterfront says they will help families that ask, but they primarily focus on single individuals, women with kids. Waterfront averages about 150 people at their facilities every night. They say there's been a big increase in the last 3 years, and city officials say it's time now to resume talks about low-barrier homeless shelters. They want to get the city, county, health care providers, and nonprofits all involved in those discussions. A 68-year-old Texas woman is in critical condition after a crash on Mobile Highway near Dooley Street yesterday. FHP says the car was being driven by a Pensacola man who lost control after running off the road and hitting a culvert, a road sign, a utility pole, then a tree. The car rolled into a ditch. The driver suffered minor injuries. The female passenger was critically hurt. Both were wearing seatbelts. The motorcyclist involved in that crash last week on Gregory Street that was allegedly racing a car across the bridge has died. Pensacola police made that announcement last night. They say the driver of the Ford Mustang involved in the race will not be charged. The crash happened last Tuesday night. Police said the motorcycle and the car were racing and leapfrogging across the bridge. The car slowed down as it entered Pensacola. The motorcycle did not. The motorcycle lost control as it was going around the curve near 14th Street. Pensacola's mayor thanking police and city employees for keeping last Friday's Fiesta Parade on track despite some uncontrollable circumstances. Those circumstances included a shooting that was just 30 minutes before the parade's start time, which required a large response from PPD.
Thanks to the extensive planning, we were able to go handle that and, you know, be full steam ahead in terms of the security of the parade. So again, huge kudos to our authorities. And
Mayor D.C. Reeves also said officers had to clear an accident involving a pedestrian, and that was just moments before the parade route was closed to traffic, and that also was cleared in time to get that parade rolling as advertised. Now, the next big parade happens here in just a few weeks, June 19th or Juneteenth. It's the rescheduled Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade that had to be canceled back in January when we got all of that snowfall. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is asking the public to report wild turkey sightings. Through August 31st, the FWC wants to track hen, gobblers, poults, newly hatched turkeys. As part of a statewide summer survey, the data helps biologists monitor nesting success and turkey population trends across the state. If you see a wild turkey, visit myfwc.com/turkey survey. Let them know there. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We are rolling accident-free right now, not seeing any accidents or even delays. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Even 98 and Highway 90, our normal trouble spots are actually delay-free right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much. John, now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms. 70% chance of that rain for today. High near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping rain chances around on Thursday with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 88. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And right now, 72 degrees. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. UPMC is off to a strong financial start in 2025 with both its healthcare and insurance services in the black last quarter for a total operating income of $237 million. Revenue between the two divisions came in at just over $8.2 billion. The U.S. has doubled tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum imports to 50%. On the same day, President Trump expects trading partners to deliver their best offer in bids to avoid punishing import tax rates on other goods from taking effect in early July. The newly doubled rate applies to all trading partners except Britain, the only country who has struck a preliminary trade deal with the U.S. NVIDIA has passed Microsoft in market cap, once again becoming the most valuable publicly traded company in the world. Shares of the artificial intelligence chipmaker rose about 3% yesterday to $141.40. The company now has a $3.45 trillion market cap. Microsoft closed yesterday with a $3.44 trillion market cap. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed, or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We've got item 25-656, Settlement Agreement, Frank v. City of Pensacola. The recommendation is that the City Council consider the proposed settlement agreement for approval. Further, if the City Council approves the settlement agreement, it authorizes the mayor to execute and take the actions necessary to carry out the agreement.
Unlike the rest of you, I was on council when this lawsuit was filed, but Mayor Hayward never thought to tell any of the council members. And, you know, I'm not sure if any of you all heard anything about this till last year. So, because it's kind of been, seems like it's been dormant. I know we paid attorney's fees on this. But the city could have changed the ordinances had we known this in 2015. We could have changed the ordinance to not charge, we could have authorized a franchise fee, or we could have done something to remove the franchise fee from the bills, but we continue to charge that.
So Charles Baer, City Councilman Charles Baer, kind of was on a tirade over this lawsuit that was filed because the city of Pensacola was not authorized to charge franchise fees, but was charging them. And the settlement for this lawsuit that they were voting on at City Council was going to be just shy of $16 million payout. $16 million payout. And you heard him be frustrated that, you know, they were not told about this under the Hayward administration, just found out about it last year. Of course, the Reeves administration has been bringing this to a resolution. By the way, I do wish I could get with the wearers of the clanky metal bracelets in City Council. I don't know why it's uniquely a problem for our City Council members, but it was. I know Tenny Day Broughton wears them. I know Sherry Myers used to wear them. I don't know if Jen Brer wears them, but it's always a thing. There's always the clanking, jangling bracelets effect when we're doing audio from the City Council. But, you know, so be it. Doesn't make it so you can't hear. It's just noticeable. So the question is, where's the money going to come from?
How's the city going to pay the settlement amount?
Big picture, we've got reserves in Pensacola Energy Funds sufficient to pay this amount.
And?
$16 million.
We don't have any other plan besides that to reimburse those funds?
I think, as we discussed earlier, I think the reality is that by spending these funds in reserve, it would necessitate a rate increase in some way, shape, or form to help rebuild that reserve amount.
Okay.
Will it deplete the fund?
It will.
Yeah, so we got a $16 million reserve fund-ish in that vicinity. We're going to pay $16 million, and then we're going to not have any reserves. And reserves are like your bank balance, like your savings account, okay? You have reserves there for if, you know, contingencies like storms, okay? For example, you need money to operate in a contingency, or if, you know, something goes over budget, you need money, whatever. That's why you have reserve fund. So you're going to pay out $16 million. And then what? Well, you're going to have to raise rates. This is why I said from the beginning about this lawsuit that it's a weird, silly lawsuit to me, because you're basically going to pay off ratepayers, and then you're going to raise rates on ratepayers. Who are they going to pay off to compensate for what was already paid off to them? Like, it's a giant money shuffle, in my opinion. Now, I don't live in the city, so it's not my money shuffle, but, you know, it's taxing Peter to pay Paul, who you paid a reimbursement for overcharging Paul all these years for money that then you get. I mean, like, it's just, it's weird, okay? But not everybody is on board with the idea of charging franchise fee. And Charles Baer, like I said, was kind of on a tirade about all this. And that's fine. You know, he's a politician. He's allowed to be on a tirade, okay?
You know, I was on council. I always question that. Why are we charging citizens for a franchise fee for a utility they own? I mean, we're the owner. The citizens own this. And I always thought I was wrong. I had no idea it wasn't authorized in the ordinances.
And then the question would be, well, would you charge, you know, a franchise fee to those outside of the city limits, which is one possibility, right, charge? I don't know what the laws are. I am sure there are very particular regulations about this. But, you know, I get where he's coming from. It's a little weird to charge an extra fee to somebody who owns the thing. But then again, I mean, what is an enterprise? An enterprise is a thing that is another way of generating revenue. Okay, you generate revenue from the airport, you generate revenue from the port, you generate revenue from Pensacola Energy.
As a natural gas customer, and I've been a natural gas customer since I moved to the city, and I moved to the city from Gulf Breeze in 2007, and I'm appalled that the city charged a franchise fee when there was no authorization to do that. And, you know, it was basically, it was a tax, you know, any fee like this is a tax on citizens, and they had no authorization to do that. So I'm kind of embarrassed to be on council and having been on council when this happened.
And he got a lot stronger in his rhetoric.
The settlement provides people like me with a refund of an unlawful tax that was charged on a natural gas bill. And, you know, I fully support this settlement. I think the city will survive it. You know, we already know we have some reserve funds.
And that's, you know, that's what the lawsuit has decided, is that it was not lawful, and that's why they're having to pay $16 million out. But the question is, what do you do then? Do you just live with no reserve fund? Do you raise rates? Do you try to replenish the reserve fund? Well, again, like I say, Charles has very definite opinions about this.
I have to tell you, as a council member, as a citizen who has natural gas currently, I will never support an increase that goes to pay this back, because I don't think that's right. I think the fact that we have done something that's wrong, citizens, then to come back and say, oh, you're going to have to pay more to pay this back. This isn't like a hurricane tax. It's not like what the power company does when there's a hurricane, when they have unforeseen costs. This is something we deliberately did, and I just think it's wrong. It's no wonder that the legislature is concerned about enterprise funds and what we do with the money.
Well, that's a fine, strident position to take, but how would you replenish the reserve fund then? Or would you just go without one? I mean, one option is to go without a reserve fund. It's not a great way to run a business, but it's one option. You know, keep rates low, don't replenish the reserve fund, and cross your fingers. Or come up with a way to replenish the reserve fund. Well, how? You know, magic, angry, strident dust? So we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. One accident to let you know about on Avalon Boulevard and San Jose Street. That's going southbound, headed toward I-10. So just be aware of that. Seeing some minor delays associated with that one. But I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you are working on a project, a home improvement project, a repair project, a construction project, especially if you're a construction professional, right? And you know, if you actually build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They are the commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here. They have what you need. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Unless, and it's true, there are specified products that are very particular to certain projects. You know, the architect or the engineer comes up with a newfangled wangaloodle or whatever it is, and then you got to order that. Oh, you never had to order a wangaloodle? Okay. I mean, you know, the left-handed wangaloodles are really hard to find. Anyway, but if you got to do a specified product, I'm sure Jimmy and Martin are like, Andrew. That's all right. Anyway, you get what I mean. It's some new thing that you've got to order for a building that you're making or for a development that you're developing. Okay. They can do that for you. They do it for folks all the time. They're not afraid of special orders. They speak your language. You won't have to have a translator with them. So find out what they can do for you if you're a professional builder. And talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield. I mean, they've been doing this for forever. Pensacola Hardware has been around since 1851. So they have literally been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 174 years right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Back to this lawsuit involving Pensacola Energy, a $16 million payout settlement with the ratepayers for illegally charging a franchise fee for all of these years. Again, Charles Baer is really the only one that talked a lot about this in the city council meeting, but he was, you know, embarrassed, angry, kind of over the top language about, you know, never support raising rates to replenish that $16 million loss that they're going to deplete the rainy day fund, the savings account basically for Pensacola Energy.
We transfer a large sum of money each year from our enterprise fund for this particular enterprise fund into our general revenue budget, and we use that, so our general fund, so we don't have to raise millage rates. It's kind of this artificial thing. It's like, we don't have to raise your millage rates. We've kept them the same because we're taking all this money from Pensacola Energy.
And that's true. I mean, enterprise funds are there to give you an alternative to raising property taxes. Okay, I mean, yeah, that's the basic nature of it.
Charging unlawful taxes, but continuing to do that, I think is just wrong. I know we're not charging it now. But maybe we need to tighten our belts and not transfer so much out, because that may end anyway if the legislature has its way. This lawsuit has resulted in a flagrant violation of our commitment to the citizens of the city of Pensacola. And I want to apologize to the citizens who have been wronged by this, kind of apologizing myself because I've been wronged by it as well. you know, the citizens affected by the failure of this government to do what's right.
Well, a failure of governments over the years, right? Not necessarily this government, but, you know, it's an entity that owns the problem. I love how he apologized to himself. I have to apologize to myself, by myself, for myself.
I'm going to support the settlement agreement because I agree with it, but I am very unhappy with the way this has gone down and the fact that we have done this to the citizens. And again, I'm not going to vote to support. If we do a rate study and we find out our rates are too low, you know, there are some things there. But if that rate study or any study shows that it's because we did this and we have to pay it back, I'm not going to support that.
All right. So the mayor had his say as well. And, of course, I know, you know, he keeps hearing this administration, you know, this government. And he's thinking, whoa. We've actually brought this thing in for a solution. But, okay.
If it says that we apologize on... as a person that's been here two years and 8 months, the second I want to speak on behalf of our administration and saying the fact that we're talking about this today, as I know you know, Councilman Baer, but just for the public, the fact we have handled this as expeditiously as possible and to bring it to finality, whether we like finality or not. So on behalf of our folks, our city attorney's office, our outside counsel, is poor decisions made many years ago, and whoever that was, or obviously I wasn't there for, but I can tell you that, you know, the second we saw the issue, we've handled the issue, stopped charging the fee, and you know, bring this to you. So it is unfortunate, but I just wanted to clear our timeline a little bit and make sure everybody listening understands that this was not a decision made by this administration, other than to get us to some finality and get this behind us.
Yeah, and so now the question in front of you is, you know, if you're the city of Pensacola and you got to figure out what to do with Pensacola Energy that's suddenly out $16 million to citizens, you used to make money on, you know, this franchise fee and then the cost of service, okay? Now you can't make money on the franchise fee, so you only have rates. Well, you can keep rates the same and then... Do you have enough money to start replenishing that reserve fund over time at all, or to send money over to the city general fund at all? Or do you raise rates because that's how you replenish the fund and or spend money? You know, I mean, eventually you replenish the fund enough that you can send money over to the city to offset the cost of services that an enterprise fund is supposed to do. To me, it was obvious from the beginning that this was a really kind of silly, in a sense, lawsuit, because you'd get $16 million paid out and then you'd raise rates and you'd raise $16 million to compensate. And the people who were, I mean, it wasn't always the same person. You know, somebody might have lived in the city and now they don't, or somebody might not have lived in the city and now they do. But generally speaking, the ratepayers receive and the ratepayers have to pay back. You know, like, so who really gains in this scenario? Well, I guess in Charles Baer's vision of things, you'll never pay it back and we'll just be up the money. Of course, PE won't have a reserve fund, and then let's hope nothing bad happens. 6:53 here on News. I didn't hear the other city council members amening. So he's one vote. The other city council members may not have felt like jumping into the fray right then, but it would be very surprising to me if you don't have a conversation about rate increases for Pensacola Energy coming up in the near future. And we'll talk about this with Mayor Reeves next hour. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm going to take this right foot and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. And you want to know something? There's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do about it.
We cut the legs off of our pants, threw our shoes into the ocean, sit back and wait through the daylight. Sit on Subway Grand.
Billy Jack. Oh, man. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about that happened on San Pablo and Avalon Boulevard going southbound, which is causing delays on Avalon Boulevard as you approach I-10. So just be aware of that. No road blockage, but I'm seeing some major delays there, about a 10 to 15 minute delay trying to get onto I-10. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, somebody texted me and said, well, Andrew, you didn't quite describe that Pensacola Energy thing right. Yes, it's true that nobody makes out in this deal except for the lawyers. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Elon Musk is slamming President Trump's new spending bill. He called it a disgusting abomination. In a post on X, Musk said he just can't stand it anymore, and he's shaming lawmakers who voted for it. Some Republicans, like Senators Rand Paul and Mike Lee, backed Musk up. House Speaker Mike Johnson, though, called Musk's comments disappointing. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry wants the remaining fugitives from the jailbreak last month to turn themselves in. Antoine Massey and Derek Groves are the last of the 10 escapees to remain on the lam. Massey posted videos on Instagram claiming he was innocent and asking for assistance from rapper Lil Wayne and President Donald Trump. Police did raid the house where those videos were made, but apparently Massey had already fled that scene. Scientists now think that kissing might spread depression and anxiety. Researchers this research was done in Iran. Maybe that's got something to do with it. Researchers in Iran looked at hundreds of newlywed couples and found that when one spouse had trouble sleeping and poor mental health, the other partner suffered similar symptoms 6 months later. They think bacteria transmitted by the depressed partner could be to blame. Can't make it up.
Where do I go with this?
top Iranian researchers.
Well, so in economics, a lot of times what you do is you analyze opportunity cost, right? You know, what's the cost and then what's the other cost, okay? So let's imagine you practice the solution of, well, not kissing your wife. How much depression is caused by that?
A lot. Know? Then there's a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah,
that go
and then
with
you
it.
Got a lot of other questions to ask. Yeah, right. Straight out of Iran. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Now, look, it's entirely possible that a psychological situation like depression could be caused by a bacteria, which could be transmitted by bodily fluids. It could be transmitted. I mean, it's, theoretically, there's nothing wrong with that possibility. But, you know. Nobody's going to act on this. Swab me for depression-causing bacteria before I open my mouth. No. And again, kissing itself makes you happy. So I'm not sure how the long-term solution really works here. But thanks for the science update.